around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's Tuesday, June the 25th, 2019, and we welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It would be my grandmother's birthday today. She was born in 1905, June the 25th, 1905. And her and my mother and my dad passed away 19 years ago, this past February and March. But we have hope. We have hope in that we will see them in the resurrection. And there's going to be a resurrection day for all, for the just and the unjust. It doesn't matter if you're a sinner or a saint. You will be resurrected. But if you are not a Christian, I would encourage you to become one, that you might be in the first resurrection. Acts 24 and 15, Paul said, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Both parties will be raised in the end. The wicked dead will be raised at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, better known as the Great White Throne Judgment. We're just about finished with those DVDs. You will learn so much in this new series. We're really working hard to get a lot of things on video. Revelation chapter 12 explained the birth of the nation of Israel and the Luciferian rebellion in heaven, having been cast down to the earth, and his tail drew one-third of the stars, representing fallen angels. We get into all of that, and I'm telling you, these DVDs will be a great blessing to all of you. Again, I want to make an appeal. If you're listening to us on WWCR, I need to hear from you. We need to find out whether or not many people are listening to us through WWCR. We've been with them for 21 years, since 1998, when I began to guest host for Steve Quayle on Blueprint for Survival. So if you're listening to us on WWCR, please email me, write me, let me know that you're listening, because we want to be very good stewards with the money that God places in the hands of the Voice of Evangelism. Also, the DVDs of the Age of Deception Conference. What a gift for just only a $50 love gift to get the 10 DVDs. As we've said so many times, we're not about making money. We're about getting the gospel out to everyone. And so you can rest assuredly, by the time we pay the postage and the handling and the printing of the DVDs, there's not much there left as far as an offering for the ministry. But we do it because we love the people of God. And we want the people of God to receive the Word of God, that it might edify and strengthen them. Amen. We're going to address a subject today, anti-Semitism. But before I do that, I want to let you know, starting Monday, next Monday, we're going to begin a new series entitled The Depravity of Man. The Depravity of Man. And I think this also will be a very tremendous study, a tremendous teaching relative to the flesh and the spirit and the great conflict between man's flesh and his spirit in relationship to God. Your flesh is your enemy. Don't ever doubt that. Don't ever question that. Your flesh is always in opposition to the plan and the will of God for your life. But today, as I said, we're going to address the subject of anti-Semitism. It is exploding. There are people out there who are attacking the Jewish people as never before. What they've done is what the Bible said they would do. They have burdened themselves with an issue that they just need to literally leave alone. But because of deception, because of duplicity, because of ignorance, not knowing, neither understanding the scriptures, and you're witnessing Matthew 24, he said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. There will be a third temple. If there's not, you can't fulfill Matthew 24:15. You can't fulfill 2 Thessalonians 2:4. You can't fulfill Revelation 11, verses 2 through 3. You just can't fulfill these verses. But I assure you, God's word is going to be totally and utterly fulfilled here in the time of the end. I want to play a beautiful song by the Tallies today. Simply says, oh, what a reason. Jesus is all the reason we need to worship him in spirit and worship him in truth. Amen.
If I lose it all and die.
What a truth. Jesus is the reason I live today. The Apostle Paul declared in Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being. We live, we move, we have our being because of Christ our Lord. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes today on the subject of anti-Semitism, an unmerited hatred toward Israel for no reason at all. What has a Jewish person ever done to you other than bless you? We have the Word of God solely because of the Jewish people. You see, the Bible that you purportedly believe, confess, and say that you adhere to tells us very clearly in Romans chapter 3, verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly that because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The Word of God that you say you embrace, you love, you teach, you preach, you study, came from Jewish people. John 4:22, Jesus said, you want to talk about Jesus? You want to allude to Jesus as your sounding board? Jesus is your temple. Jesus is your Zion. Jesus is this, Jesus is that. Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. I didn't say that. God's word said that. But people are under demonic delusion. Sure, they're deluded. And they're under a spirit of delusion. And because of that, God said in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Jesus forewarned his disciples at the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You're going to be hated. Who was Jesus talking to there? 12 Jewish apostles. By the way, you won't like New Jerusalem. You won't like New Jerusalem. You'll hate New Jerusalem. Because you see, on the 12 gates of pearl, you're going to have the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then on the 12 foundations of New Jerusalem, you're going to have the names of the 12 apostles. By the way, 12 and 12 is what? 24. How many elders does John see in Revelation chapter 4? He sees 20 and 4 elders. There's your 24 elders. I've heard so many, so much conjecture about who and what typifies, symbolizes the 24 elders. There they are. The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles. I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible... You see, the problem with these buffoons is they don't believe the Bible. They claim they believe the Bible, but they don't take the Bible literally whatsoever. Revelation 21 and 12. By the way, you need to read my book, The New Jerusalem Bride and the Mystery of the Church. I there's so much detail, finite detail in that book. Some of the comments I've gotten from people says that's one of the most profound books I've ever read. It's not me. It's the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. But Revelation 21 and 12 says, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So the 12 tribes are going to be on the 12 gates of the city called New Jerusalem. Then, verse 14, Revelation 21, 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I don't believe Judas Iscariot's name will be on the 12th foundation. It'll be the Apostle Paul. That's my personal opinion. Some say Matthias because they cast lots, but I believe it was Paul because Paul had the revelation, the understanding of the new covenant like no one else. I believe he's the 12th apostle on those 12 foundations. And again, 12 and 12 makes 24. So those are your 20 and 4 elders in Revelation chapter 4. Jesus said, ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It was the Jewish people that gave us the Messiah, Jesus the Lord Christ. Now, to understand how all of this came to fruition, you have to go back to the book of Genesis. What does the word Genesis mean? The beginning. You have to go back to the beginning, and you have to understand God brought Abraham into covenant with him, just like Mary. When Gabriel says to Mary in the book of Luke, Mary, thou art highly favored, thou art blessed among women. The word blessed there in the Greek is eulogia. Eulogia. We use the English word to eulogize a decedent. I've done many eulogies in my lifetime as a minister. That word eulogia in the Greek says that Gabriel was telling Mary this. Here's what Gabriel was saying to Mary. Mary, God is going to bring you into a divine relationship with him, wherein you have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with it. There's nothing on your part. That's why people mess up, jack up salvation. You have no part in your redemption. Now, you think you do, but that's because you twist the scriptures to your own destruction and damnation. You have nothing to do with your salvation. All you can do with salvation is to simply believe. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it. That's it. Anything afterward is nothing but works. That's all it is. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. People today have allowed the same spirit that was on Adolf Hitler to touch and negatively affect their lives. You're called Jew haters, anti-Semitic, anti-Semitic. You see, the reason you're stupid is because you don't understand the scriptures. Now, how do you expect a blind man that was born blind, how do you expect him to understand the beauty of a sunset or the beauty of the sunrise? He's blind. He's never seen it. You can sit there and you can try your best to describe the beautiful colors, the atmosphere, the ambiance. You can do all of these things, but when you get done, because he's never seen a sunset, you've wasted your time. He cannot imagine because he's never seen it. He just can't do it. This is where people become deceived because it says in Romans 11:25, blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullest of the Gentiles be come in. Isaiah said they would be blind and their ears would be dull of hearing. Jesus quoted Isaiah in Matthew chapter 13. Do you not believe the word of God is going to be fulfilled? Do you not believe the word of God is going to be fulfilled? Jesus said their hearts are waxed gross. They have eyes to see, they see not, ears to hear, they hear not. And here you are attacking blind people. Now in the natural, you would really stir up people if you went up to somebody that was blind in a wheelchair and began to vehemently speak evil and harsh to them or physically harm them. People would say, what kind of person are you? What kind of person are you? Jesus took the disciples out as far as the temple, and he began to tell them what they could expect in the time of the end. Let me ask you a question. There's a verse in Psalms 122, verse 6, and it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Do you do that? Or do you just attack Israel? Do you ever pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Why? Jerusalem has a 5,000-year history. 5,000 years history. All the way back to King Melchizedek from Salem. Salem, Jerusalem. 5,000-year history. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As I said a few minutes ago, if there's never going to be a temple, then Matthew 24:15 is a farce. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and then it has in most of your Bibles in parentheses, whosoever understandeth, let him read. Or whosoever readeth, let him understand. So what you're telling me is, you read Matthew 24:15, you don't understand it. You obviously can't understand Daniel chapter 9. That's where Jesus is alluding to in Matthew 24:15. He's alluding to Daniel chapter 9. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? When you see the Antichrist sitting in the temple, opposing all that is called God or that is worshipped, he's making declaration he is God. Paul said, now remember, when I was yet with you, I told you these things. If you were not privy to the conversation, how would you know to remember? If you were not there to hear the conversation, how could I say to you, do you not remember what we discussed 2 months ago in my office? Paul says, when you see the Antichrist in the temple, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. In other words, I've already forewarned you. This is what you're going to witness. You're going to see this. You're going to behold this. As I said a moment ago, you have to go back to Genesis 12, the genesis of this covenant. Genesis 12:3, I'll bless those that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee. Every nation has been blessed through the Abrahamic covenant. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. why don't you go over there and live with the Muslims? Because that's who you really embrace, Islam. You said, oh, I embrace Jesus. No, you don't. You don't embrace Jesus. Jesus told us salvation is of the Jews. Jesus is the Word. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Is not Jesus Christ the Word of God? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Now we're being told today, if you pray for Israel or you support Israel, you need to repent. Repent of what? Is praying for the peace of Jerusalem a sin? Is praying for the blinded eyes of the Jewish people to be opened, is that a sin? I'm glad somebody prayed for me while I was in sin, while I was blind. Blind as a bat. Blind. Let me show you what's happening here. People are doing what the Word of God said they would do in the last days. I'm amused at how people will talk to you and they'll hold up their Bible. They'll hold up their Bible like they're an authority in the Word of God. Well, let's see what Zechariah chapter 12 says. Verse 1, the burden of the Word of the Lord for Israel. You've heard me say this. Strike out the word Israel. Put the word Jacob. Put the word Jacob there. Matthew 22, verse 32. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who said that? Jesus said that. Abraham was not a myth. Isaac was not a myth. Jacob was not a myth. Why did God change Jacob's name to Israel? Because he had finally brought forth to fruition the 12 tribes of Israel. That means divine government, 12, and God could start this implementation of this nation. God couldn't grow a nation through Isaac alone. Think about it. Here's a man, old, impotent, can't have any children. Sarah lures him into sleeping with Hagar, and they have Ishmael. That is not the promised seed. That's carnal seed. But they have Isaac. Laughter. She laughed. Remember Genesis 18? She laughed. Jesus says, why are you laughing? She said, I didn't laugh. Oh, by the way, how do you know that's Jesus? John chapter 8. John chapter 8 tells us one of the three angels that came to Abraham was Jesus. Jesus told us that. Did you know that? Jesus told us that in John 8, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. When in the world could Abraham have ever seen Jesus? In Genesis chapter 18. Remember Genesis 18, verse 25, shall not the judge of all the earth do that which is right? Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the judge. Jesus tells us in John 5 and 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Abraham talked to Jesus. Jesus said, before Abraham, I was. The Jews said, hey, you're not even 50 years old. And Abraham rejoiced in talking to you, seeing you, before Abraham was, I am. again, the conversation in Genesis chapter 18 that Abraham had with Jesus in negotiating 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. You see, we miss so many things in the scriptures because, first of all, we're not being taught the scriptures. More and more people are listening to the voice of evangelism. And they tell us it is because line upon line, precept upon precept, we just learn, we grow. Other ministries don't have those kind of comments because they have an agenda, such as attacking Israel. Or you got to do this to be saved. You have to do that to be saved. They have an agenda. They don't care about getting people saved. They care about converting saved people to their denomination. And wow, we had so much response. I mean, untold. It's just unbelievable, the response. And how people were set free from this series we did on the church or denominationalism. So many people said, I was set free, Pastor. I was set free. Whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. I didn't set you free. The Word of God set you free. The truth. The truth. Let's go back to Zechariah 12. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. The God that forms the spirit within you, the God of Abraham. Behold, he says, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about it, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces. You ever heard the term cut your own throat and suck your own blood? That's what some of you are doing. You're cutting your throat. You're sucking your own blood. That's what the Bible said you would do. You have burdened yourself with Jerusalem. I look at this like the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. If you don't understand it, leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. Probably starting in 2009, 2010, I spent one Wednesday night a month while I was still pastoring for 3 or 4 years, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for Benjamin Netanyahu, praying for Israel. You say, you got to be kidding me. Can I ask you a very simple question? When Jesus returns, where will he set his feet? L.A.? Beijing? Moscow? Washington, Paris, Taiwan, Taipei, Sydney, Australia. Where is Jesus coming when he comes back to the earth? He's coming to Jerusalem. Now, it would seem to me if I know where someone is coming, and that's where he's going to set his headquarters and the millennial, why would I want to be so adamant, so ardent against Israel? Let's go to Zechariah 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And that day shall there be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Beijing, every pot in Moscow, every pot in Washington. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seeth therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Holiness unto the Lord. Where? Jerusalem. There are two Jerusalems. There's the present Jerusalem in Israel. That Jerusalem is in bondage to this day. Why? Because they're still trusting in the old covenant. The old covenant. Galatians 4:24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which engendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Simply put, both of them are still in bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Are you telling me, Pastor, there's another Jerusalem? There sure is. It's called New Jerusalem. Because this existing Jerusalem, one day will be completely done away with. As a matter of fact, in this teaching, we've just assimilated the great white throne judgment. I show, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, how that at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, the elements will pass away and everything will melt with a fervent heat. Now, these buffoons that are telling you and castigating Jerusalem, they actually believe 2 Peter chapter 3 is the second coming of the Lord, the second advent of Christ. That's not true. They don't know their Bible because they don't know what they're talking about. When Jesus comes in Matthew 24, he doesn't obliterate the earth. As a matter of fact, if you'll look at 2 Peter chapter 3, it talks about the day of the Lord and the day of God. They're two separate days. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years are as one day. How long is the millennial reign of Christ? 1,000 years, or one day with the Lord. And then when you look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, when the face of the Lamb appears at the great white throne judgment, the Bible said heaven and earth fled away. Gone. It's gone. Where did it go? Ah. You see, these pea brains don't know anything, so they can't tell you where it went to. But I know where it went to. I know what happened to it. It passed away with a great noise. The Greek says it's a whizzling sound. W-H-I-Z-Z-I-N-G-L-Y. A whizzling sound. And it's going to melt with fervent heat. All matter is going to be destroyed just like that. See, that takes place in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then Revelation 21, verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." But these people who are ignorant will tell you 2 Peter chapter 3 is the second advent of Christ. That's not true. That's just not the truth. I hate to burst your bubble. I hate to deflate your ego. I hate that you have been taught wrong or you don't know how to study. That's probably most of your problems. You don't know how to study. And we're told, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. You don't know how to study. This existing Jerusalem is going to be done away with after the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Now, there'll be those who say, "Well, that's already took place." That's what we call preterism, preterist. They believe the book of Revelation has done been fulfilled. Well, the problem with that is, where's the resurrection of the righteous dead and the wicked dead? When is the battle of Armageddon going to come to fulfillment? When are we going to see the implementation of the mark of the beast? You see, you got all these questions in the book of Revelation, but if it's already been fulfilled, why are we going in the direction we're going in America with technology? You think God is stupid? You think God just gave us junk? No, God gave us his word. And there was a day when a man's word was his bond. Well, I got news for you. God's word is still his bond today. God's word is still his bond today. God gave us his word. Now, this new Jerusalem, this new heaven and this new earth is going to be nothing like we know today. Number one, John said, "I saw no more sea." The sea, as we see, oceans, the Atlantic, the Pacific, etc., the Adrian, all of these, they're going to be done away with. It's going to be a new planet. It's going to be done away with. And here's the key. Once we enter into that eighth millennium, and I'll go ahead and use the term eternity. Once we enter into eternity, we're not in eternity yet, but we're going there. We're headed in that direction. But watch this. We have all these people bashing temple, 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 third temple, bashing, 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 bashing. Can I tell you the number three means completeness? Israel will have gone full circle from the temple, temple destruction, rebuilding, and that one being destroyed, done away with. Here's the secret. Here's the key. Revelation 21 and 22 says, "And I saw no temple therein." Now, there's coming a day when there will be no temple. But we're not there yet. Because the Antichrist has to oppose all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You say, it's not the temple of God. It's the temple of God because God says this is where prophecy has to be fulfilled. And I'm gonna digress back to Romans 3 and 1. You hate the Jews? Well, remember, the Bible that you say you preach from is who gave you the Bible were the Jewish men. Men. Now, John said in Revelation 21, 22, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Ah, now Jesus in the end becomes the temple, but we're not there yet. Go back and read the book of Ezekiel. Pick up at chapter 45. you remember as a kid the little coloring books where you first connect all the dots? And then after you connect all the dots, you color it in and you have a beautiful, beautiful picture. A color picture, Crayola color picture. But the first thing you have to do to get the picture, you have to connect the dots. Now, regretfully, these cynical people have failed to connect the dots. You got to have the dots connected to have the portrait, the picture. Now, to take the book of Revelation and just say, well, it's already been fulfilled, then how about Revelation 19, verse 11, John said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed after him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword that wisheth. With it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He shall tread the winepress, the fiercest and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, are we going to see that? Or have we seen that? We've not seen it, but we will see it. It's coming. That's Christ's second advent coming to the earth. John said, I saw heaven opened. There are so many nuances in the scriptures, like Revelation chapter 4. Come up hither. I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And he says, and immediately I was in the spirit. So what happens to John? John stays on the earth in his own physical body, but his spirit has been taken to heaven. His body never left the earth. You see, God brings him up and says, now I want you to watch this from this perspective, looking down. Looking down. Revelation 4, he's in heaven. He has a panoramic view of prophecy. But somewhere between Revelation 4 and Revelation 19, John's spirit is back on the earth. How do I know? Listen to the word. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Oh. Now John has to be looking up toward heaven to see the white horse. Let's go on to Revelation 20 and verse 1. I saw an angel descend out of heaven. And what did he have in his hand? He had a key to the bottomless pit. And he had a great chain. Again, how and where is John's perspective now? He's looking up heaven. He sees an angel come with a key and with a chain. I believe it's Michael the archangel. Why? Michael the archangel is a warring angel. Revelation 12 and 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. It seems like it would only be just for God to say, okay, now Michael, put him away. You fought him. You didn't, in Jude, you didn't make a railing accusation against him. Now I'm going to give you the authority and the power now to seize him, take hold of him, put him in the bottomless pit, chain him, put a seal on the bottomless pit, set him up for the next 1,000 years. Again, John's perspective now is looking up. But in Revelation 4, he's up looking down. There are so many things that as Christians, we just don't see things. I sometimes don't know why. I know you're not going to hear Joy Osteen or Joseph Prince or Joyce Myers or any of those people talk about the stuff I'm talking about today. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Why? First of all, they don't understand it. That's why they don't preach repentance. you know, there in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, knowing all of these things are going to come to pass, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation? The word conversation, as you've always heard me teach, means your lifestyle. Knowing all of these things are going to come to pass, what kind of a lifestyle should you possess in your daily walk? It should be a godly one. It should be a godly one. It should be one that is this holy, consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ. But regretfully, we don't see that. It is amazing. It is amazing. We see these things in the scriptures, but people somehow don't see them, neither do they talk about them. 2 Peter 3:11, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Now that's the Father, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, these illiterate wannabe teachers will tell you 2 Peter 3 is the coming of the Lord. No. What does verse 5 in 2 Peter 3 have to do with the coming of the Lord? Now watch this. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of the God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now I get into all of this in this new series, The Great White Throne Judgment. You see, when God created the heavens and earth in the beginning, Genesis 1, it was dry. It was dry. Then we had this mass eruption, obliteration, and the satanic rebellion of Lucifer. Then everything became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The sun was knocked out. No light. The earth was standing out of the water and in the water. It was out of the water in creation, but after Satan's obliteration, it was now back in the water. How do we know that? Because the first thing the Bible said in Genesis 1 and 4, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Did you get that? I don't have time to get into all of this. I encourage you to get this teaching on the Great White Throne Judgment. I exegete all of this. This is, you see, people are ignorant and they're unlearned. This is why Peter said, for this they willingly are ignorant. They're ignorant. I didn't say that. God said that about them. They're willingly ignorant. They'll go on and they'll say, and they see this 2 Peter chapter 3, that's the second advent of Christ. Absolutely not. Peter's giving us insight before Adam and Eve. And of course, we go through all of this. After the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, what was the next thing God said? Let there be light. Where was the sun? It was obliterated. It was flooded. The canopy over the cosmos was rent, torn somehow, some way. I'm not fully understanding that myself, but I understand what I'm reading, that it was flooded. Flooded. Therefore, it was in the water and out of the water. Now it's back in the water. God's got to take it out. He creates the expanse, the firmament. He puts the heaven above, the earth beneath. All of this is in the Word of God. All of this is in the Bible, if you take the time to not be ignorant and study. So we got all these rocket scientists castigating, impinging, encroaching Israel as a nation, as a state. And all you're finding yourself doing is burdening yourself with prophecy in a negative way. I would encourage you to leave it alone before something bad happens to you. As Paul said in Romans 3:18, there's no fear of God before their eyes. The greatest deception in the world is spiritual deception. It's one thing to be seduced in an extramarital affair, a business partner to betray you, to lure you, to snooker you, to trick you with some kind of chicanery. The worst deception, the worst duplicity in the world is religious deception. Religious. Why? It's twofold. The natural aspect of deceit, compounded by the spiritual aspect of deceit, compounded a third time by delusion from God. Say, that scares me. That's what you need, is a healthy fear of God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Leave Israel alone. There's other things to preach. There's other things to teach. There's other things to study. Don't become a Jewish, Hitler-hating, sinful person. That's what Hitler was. My God, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. It's in the earth. It's taking control. God bless you. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. We're going to start this new teaching series, The Depravity of Man. It will be a real eye-opener for all of us.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.